Well, what is Good Friday is all about? Why we should come out today as Christians to celebrate the Good Friday, the day like this, it has been called the Good Friday for a good purpose, for a good reason. Are we all there together? So Good Friday. So Good Friday simply is about the death of Jesus, isn't it? The Good Friday is the day on which Jesus Christ was killed, was put to death. And the cross is a method of killing of Jesus Christ. And that is why when Christians took the symbol of the cross to be our symbol, so they were saying, actually, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died for us. And then that is why the cross itself is a symbol of the killing of Christ. Many years ago, as I was a missionary in North Sudan, one particular night I had a bad headache, and then I wrote what we call in Sudan as a poetry. And I used the cross as symbolic. I said, lead me to the cross where Jesus died and took all my infirmities and sins and three. And then later on I realized one of my colleagues at the university, even though he was an English professor, but also he was a poet. He really participated in a lot of competitions. And then I said to him, rather shyly and humbly, because I was not a I was not a poet, you know. So, and then he said to me, I said, I wrote something. He said, oh, bring it to me. I want to have a look. And for 3 weeks, he was urging me to bring it to him. And then one day, finally, I brought that piece of paper to him. And then he sat down and he with all his tools as a poet, you know, he started this stuff. And so he started to look at that, lead me to the cross three times. And then he turned to me and he said to me, the cross is symbolic, isn't it? I said, yes, it's symbolic. This is a Muslim man. Even he could recognize that the cross of Christ was standing for something greater, something Mahatma Gandhi failed to see. And you see, Lydia wrote here, you can hear the confusion around the cross in the words of Gandhi. I could accept Jesus as a martyr. His death on the cross was a great example to the world. But that there was anything like a mysterious or miraculous virtue in it, my heart could not accept. And many people today who are not Christian because they just dwell on the surface and then they didn't accept the message that was beyond the death of Jesus Christ. And that is what I want to do today. So the crucifixion, you see, he died like a criminal. The cross was a method of killing of criminals, the worst criminals in those days. They were killing criminals in that way, and Jesus was identified in both laws, in both courts, the civil courts and also the religious courts. They condemned him, first of all, by the Pharisees and the Sanhedrins, the council, as someone who was blaspheming, calling himself a son of God, making himself equal with God, and that he was really subject to kill, to death, because he's a blasphemous. And then the religious establishment of that time, they wouldn't want any person to have any association with their religion to have such a belief. And he was condemned. Also, he was condemned before the civil court because he calls himself a king. That was, he was accused. And they knew no other kings, only Caesar. And so Jesus was condemned. And here he is condemned as a criminal. And then they took him and they crucified him. And you see, with two thieves. So what is that saying to us? It's saying if Jesus didn't die for his own sin, is dying for our sins, and he's taking our place, that means we are the worst criminals. And so Jesus taking our place, that is how we have gone down before God. That is how we have been so bad. We have broke the law of God, and we have been judged as criminals, only to be crucified. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to take our place on the cross. So the cross, as I said, was the methods of his killing, the killing of Jesus. And now Jesus, as he dies, that is what I want to focus on. I want to move straight away into his death while he was dying. The three things I want to tell you. So darkness came upon the earth. Secondly, darkness came on the earth. And secondly, the tearing of the curtain. And thirdly, the confession of the centurion. Three things as Jesus was dying. Those three things took place. Now, Mark tells us in verse 33, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. As Jesus was crucified, and now they do the hours in a different way. You see, the sixth hour is 12 noon. That is the time. It's very hot. And now to the ninth hour, that means to 3 p.m., 12 noon to 3 p.m., Jesus hanging on the cross. And so the darkness came upon the earth. Why? Now this is sinless Son of God being taken on the cross, lifted up from the ground. That was a huge move by God to allow his Son to be lifted up from the ground to the cross, to die on the behalf of us all, to die for the world. That is a judgment of God. Darkness came down. Even the Bible says the sun refused to shine. The grief that was coming upon the land. Well, look, we live in a country or in the modern world where we don't see symbols of things, isn't it? When I was growing up in South Sudan, if the day is rainy, heavy rain, very dark, people are fearful. They start to interpret things. There must be something happening. God must be judging. Or if there is a storm where the sun is darkened just midday, they will say there must be a war somewhere. People are dying. You see? So in those days, people also were familiar with the signs of the times. And now as Jesus was dying also, the darkness came upon the earth. And actually, it's the day of judgment in the Old Testament is spoken of in Amos 8, was also the day of judgment will be a day on which the sun will refuse to shine as a prophecy of how Jesus will die on the cross. And then the world, the earth will give, the earth will give those signs. The earth will give those signs. You can read that in Amos 8 as a day of the Lord. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. God will not overlook our sins. Will not the land tremble for this, and all who live in it mourn? The whole land will rise like the Nile. It will be stirred up and then sink like the river of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darkness and darken the earth in a broad daylight. In a broad daylight, as the Son of God was dying. Well, now Jesus, who is dying, he is a good shepherd, isn't it? He's a good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sake of the sheep. You read that in John 10. John 10, verse 11. This is what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's doing this for us. Also, Luke talks about how Jesus dying in our place. Romans 5 and verse 8 also talks about how Jesus was dying in our place, taking our sins upon himself. Ephesians 5 verse 2. And now we see the death of Christ. I have two things to say to you about his death as something he is accomplishing. The redemption or deliverance. As he dies, he was delivering us from the dominion of Satan. He was delivering us from Satan, from the dominion of the kingdom of darkness. So we see how Jesus' her death is really for our sin. Also, as Jesus was dying, the second sign that we see here in Mark 15, we are told that the curtain was torn into two. The curtain was torn into two. The curtain of the temple was torn into two from the top to toe. What happens actually? The curtain was dividing the Holy of Holies from the holy place. That was in the temple during that time. The Holy of Holies, that is the place where the high priest will only enter. And the rest of the people will stay on the holy place. So they don't have access to the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was a symbol of God's presence. Other people say it's heaven. You see, but the here on earth is the Holy of Holies is the place where the all the covenants materials were placed, and it's only the high priest would enter there once and for all for a year to and not without a sacrifice to bring to God. And we see when he comes, he is representing people, isn't it? He comes not only for his sins. We are told that you can read that in Hebrews chapter 9, 1 to 5. So he comes carrying with him sacrifices for himself because he's a sinner, also on the behalf of the other people. So that was the provision, and people were waiting for the time when everybody can have access to come to God. Just imagine if you cannot come to God. That is what happened actually before the death of Christ. We are separated, and that is why Jesus had to come and die, because sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God, and God has to deal with sin. And as we are told in verse 37, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last, and as he died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Why? What is this saying to us? It's saying, actually, the way has been opened. The sacrifice of Christ has been accepted. You see, and therefore, all the worshippers now, they will not be represented by the high priest. They will come by themselves. They will have access because the sacrifice of Christ has been accepted, and Christ has dealt for our sins, and he bore them on him, and now we have access. The curtain is torn into two. So you and I can have access before God. And that is why we can come and we call God our Father. Now we come home, we have access. Now we can enjoy the blessings that are there as a result of the deliverance and redemption. Because redemption is a work Christ has done, but actually is an invitation for us to enjoy the blessings that are there for someone who has been redeemed and brought closer. So now we have in our mind the reconciliation. The reconciliation. The reconciliation was at the heart of the cross. We see in the death of Christ and then the opening of the way. That means we have been reconciled. So if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. And Jesus on the cross of Calvary was reconciling us to God, not counting to us our sins. That is what Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians. So now these are symbols. And these symbols, they have theological message. And the theological message is the fact that Jesus, being also the most high priest, even it's not revealed here, but Jesus actually in the New Testament is the most high priest who enters into the Holy of Holies, not just made by men, to heavens, opening the way for us all to come. What is this benefiting us? So you have this confidence. As Jesus is dying, that he is taking my place. That is what he's saying. You say as an individual Christian, Jesus died in my place. My place. You see, when we say for us, but you say for me. He died for me, for me. Isn't it? Like just on Sunday, for me. You see, so here the reconciliation was at the heart of the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. That is what he says. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That is his understanding of the work of Christ as he dies. He was dying for our sin, because sins, that was the single thing that was separating us from God. Sin, that was what really stopping us from the blessings. Sin, that was the only thing that brings us to judgment if it's not dealt with, if you do not put your trust in the death of Christ and believe and confess that he was dying for your sins, and then you remain a sinner. But if you believe, and for those who have believed, they became born again, and they are reconciled with God our Father. And so now we have access to God. He died to reconcile us with his Father. He died to give us eternal life, peace with God. That is reconciliation. That are the benefits and the blessings, because we have this aspect. Redemption is what Jesus did, and actually what this has achieved for us is this access into the blessings. And these blessings is eternal life. And this eternal life is a life that begins here. That is where you have the Holy Spirit, you worship, you praise God, and you hear the Holy Spirit, you serve Jesus. Yeah, you do anything because you have been forgiven. You have been reconciled. You have peace with God. You see? That is what Romans 5 says, isn't it? We have been reconciled. We have peace with God. No condemnation for us. And this peace is ours with God. So, the greatest blessings in enjoying his favor and fellowship were achieved at the death of Christ. That is why we have this, because he died. He opened the way. God has welcomed us. That is why you can come with confidence. When you come to God in Christ, you don't come thinking that you have to be good yourself. You have to believe. You have to believe that Jesus took your sins. And God actually is not someone who is just behind people wanting to kill them, isn't it? Or to punish them for their sins. We are sinners. And that is what Jesus was representing there. He died as a criminal for you and I. And so there is no question about the fact that we are bad and we are sinners. And we deserve only judgment that fell on Jesus. But the good news is that Jesus did that so that that punishment will not come on us again. And the fact that you remain a sinner, not allowing Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, that means you are waiting for the judgment. You reject the blessing, the great reconciliation that God has offered to you free of charge in the Beloved, in Jesus. That is why all these things, symbols were happening. They were declaring to us. You see, the Old Testament, I mean the New Testament, is all about the death of Jesus. If I have to tell you about every aspect of the death of Jesus Christ, we will stay here for... So this is our message every Sunday, isn't it? But today I want to be selective, just like to press on this truth, so that no one remains rejecting Christ. Even yesterday, I was talking to a tall man. I think he comes from South Africa. He's called himself African. You see, we as African, we think like every African must be black. You see, but there are white Africans, you see. And the lady, she's a Hindu at the post office. I went with Emanuela. And she was like trying to wish us all Good Friday. And these guys said, oh, no, I don't believe in that. And I said, don't you? And then I started really to share the gospel with him. You see, and I said, how about the sin? And you see the signs of sin around the world today. The big companies doing oil exploration in Africa and just ruining the nature. Just they take money, no school, no hospitals. Is that not? You say yeah. This is injustice. I said, how about someone keeping peace, like taking your money in the Western world, saying United Nations, keeping peace in South Sudan for 15 years and no peace, actually. What is that? They rent houses, $10,000 a month, you see. Big companies. How many big companies have millions, billions of dollars and people are dying and hungry? You see, injustice, sin in this world. How many killings? How many killings, injustices? Weak people just like being crushed under wheels. See, is that not sin? Lack of love, divorce. You see, murdering kids, children in the wombs, in so-called abortions. This is not sin. Wars, people manufacturing big weapons, just like killing human beings like insects and birds. It's not sin. Prostitution, humiliation of bodies and self. It's not sin. But those who have come to these great reconciliations, they can never dwell in those places, isn't it? That is the greatest difference. You see, you are righteous. They say you are righteous. You have access to God, to hear him in his word, to praise him, to pray to him, to have your heart cleansed all the time. You see, having the joy of the Lord, reconciliation. The curtain now here symbolizing the opening of the way for the worshippers. To have answers to our prayers, to have fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Just imagine even as a child being in a house where you don't have access to your father. Just imagine. Would be a disaster, isn't it? Would be a disaster. The warmth, the love that comes, the protection from the Father. And you remember, our Father is the maker of the whole universe, isn't it? His power is matchless. Whenever one of his children is in trouble, he can rend the heavens and comes. And when he allows them to depart, they go before him. They don't go somewhere else. See how the death of Christ secured for us an access to eternal life, to peace, and to fellowship with our God, the Father, so that we know the sins that separate us from God has been dealt with once and for all. Thirdly, the centurions believed. Now we are told, as Jesus died, as the curtain in the temple or of the temple was torn apart, there was a man who was watching those events. He was a centurion. He was a military man. And they used the Latin word for a person in charge of 100 army. See, so this man, he was watching all that was happening. He must have been there watching Christ being really falsely accused and judged. They saw how they hurled insult on him, how the darkness came on him, how the curtain was broken down, and hear his confession. When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. That is a great confession, isn't it? Why? This confession is so important, and that is our response to the death of Christ, of seeing all that had taken place, seeing how much he has loved us so much on the cross and bearing our sin, leaving nothing for which we could be condemned by God. Nothing, not even a single one. He bore all our sins. Is that not what we read in Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53, we read it a lot, isn't it? describing what Jesus Christ did for us. He was despised and rejected by men. He was despised. He was pierced for our transgressions, pierced with a sword. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was humiliated. The sinless Son of God, our sins were placed on him. Just as a Christian, when you step out of the Spirit, when you grieve the Holy Spirit, when you grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit, how do you feel? Heavy. You feel bad, isn't it? But how about Jesus himself? To have our sin, the sin of the whole world, being laid on him is a foreign nature to him, isn't it? As sin is a foreign circumstances on Christians. That is why we as Christians, we are not to tamper with sin of any kind, whether it's unforgiveness, pride, sexual immoralities, gossiping, hating other people, envy, all sorts of sins. Jesus took them all. Things that can condemn us. We all like sheep. No one was desiring to do something good. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. That is a description. He was cut off. He was killed. But it was the Lord's will. And the centurion, as he observed that, he saw that, he said, surely this man, he was the Son of God. Why now, when we confess Jesus as the Son of God? John 3:16, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, because he's the only Son of God can save us. Because the Son of God comes from heaven, sinless. He is sinless. He is not from this world. Also, the Son of God is the Lamb of God. He's offered for us. And as we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, like this man, centurion, we are saved. That is what really John says. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of God, will be lifted on the cross of Calvary. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That is has been secured for us by the death of Jesus Christ. And this confession is the confession of every believer in Christ, the Son of God. Truly, he went through all of this so that you and I can be saved. And that is the death of Christ. That is what the death of Christ achieved for us. That is our greatest response. It is nice to come to church and hear how Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, and we can see how darkness came on the earth, you see, and how the curtain was broken into two. But if we fall short from the confession of the centurion, the death of Christ will mean nothing to you. But the death of Jesus Christ meant to drive us to this man, to the centurion, to say, you can say, today, I am the centurion. And you see, this man, he's a prominent man, isn't it? It's a man with responsibilities. It's a man who is rich, isn't it? He got powers. He doesn't need to do that. But God is a God of both the rich and the poor. You see, the highly regarded and the most rejected of the land. He is the Lord of the whole, of all. He is the Lord of every breath. And now this man confess this. There are a lot of what troubles me. A lot of people go to church for decades and years, but they have never come to this point of confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as dying for their own sin. Because as you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you are saved. You are reconciled. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay money. You don't have to be good in yourself. You need to just come as you are. Crowder, I think he had a song like that. Come as you are. Come as you are. And today you can do this so you can have the life. You see, just imagine if God had to send his Son to die for us only when you come into his presence, he will be in indifference with you, not to welcome you. Well, that was his job. He wants to receive you. He wants you to confess his son. That is his heart. He wants you to accept the offer to believe in the work of Christ, in the person of Christ, because there is no other one like him. And so the centurion, he led the way. And Paul Barnett is a New Testament scholar from Sydney. And in one of his commentaries on the Gospel of Mark that I read like 15 years ago, he said, actually, he argued, or he said, centurion was the first Christian. He said he was the first Christian because he placed his trust on the work of Christ. And that is what you are to do today. Even children, you can put your trust in the death of Christ and say, well, people will say, oh, I am bad and things like that. And no, Jesus died for my sin to set me free. And now the death of Christ really achieved for us all these great things. So we are reconciled. We are children of God. We have eternal life. We will not come to condemnations. We have access into the blessings that Jesus has secured for us as he died. You see, the blessings of coming into before God. You see, that is why we say before the throne of God above, I have a perfect, you see, plea, Jesus Christ opening the way for us. And there were witnesses, people who were seeing that. And so today you don't have to dwell where you are. You can put your trust on this Good Friday. If you put it on Christ on this day, you can put your trust in Jesus fully. Every sin, even how bad it is. One of the things I've learned early when I was starting to be a disciple of Jesus, I learned, and I thank God for my tutors, those who really discipled me, to be really very open with the Lord. Even the thing that you can never even say to anyone, you can bring them to Jesus. He cares for you. And so if Jesus can accept you, who can reject you? You see, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that is what Jesus has secured for us. And that is why Good Friday is a very good day for us. We call him Good Friday. Actually, they designed that word. They coined that word for a good purpose, isn't it? Good Friday. Pointing to the death of Jesus. So the Good Friday is about the death of Jesus. And the cross is a method of killing Jesus. Because it's a bad way for someone to die. So who dies in that way is a criminal. And you need to think about this. Refusing to come to Christ is saying, I want to remain a criminal that can only be killed through the cross. And that is not what God wants us to go through. He has created us after his own image. And that is why he sent his son to redeem us. For God does not desire that a sinner dies, but to repent and come to salvation and to come to the knowledge of Christ. And that is why in Isaiah 53, they said, by the knowledge of him, many will be made righteous. As you come to know Jesus Christ, you will be right with God and there will be no condemnation. And then you remain following Christ, and not just you are saved to live the way you want, saved to live for God and saved to live for Christ. Remember these three signs: darkness, the curtains opening the way for us, and the confession of the centurions. I pray if you have not come to Christ fully and have the assurance of your salvation, is your good day today. It's a good opportunity. And I'm going to pray. But what I want you to do in your heart is the fact that you invite Christ if you have not come to Christ. And if you have come to know Jesus, then you can thank him and renew your commitment to him. We can do this every day. Today, I want to renew my commitment to be a disciple. That is what we all do. I do this every day or whenever I can, or all the time. We continue dedicating ourselves to Christ. Maybe it's your first day today to begin. And then for those who have begun, walking with Christ, they can find refreshment today as we revisit how he died for us and for what purpose. Let us pray.